On today's show, let's visit a few ghostly places. They're called shinrei spotto in Japanese, areas that are believed to be haunted or cursed or have some other paranormal activity going on. But first, a warning. Actually, two warnings. Number one is from my mother-in-law. It's a story that she used to tell me when she was trying to stop me from doing something she thought was stupid or dangerous. It goes like this. Many years ago, before I came to Japan, there was a relative, a young man in his 20s, who was bright and cheerful and outgoing. But he was also very curious about otherworldly things. One day he decided to go to Osore-san, a place way up north in Aomori Prefecture. Osore-san is also known for its itako, or mediums. These elderly, blind women are thought to be able to communicate with both Shinto gods and the dead. Osore-san, the name meaning dreadful mountain, is also believed to be one of the gateways to hell. You see, I had heard about this place and seen some cool photos and expressed great interest in going there. And that's what spurred my mother-in-law's warning tale. So, she says, this happy-go-lucky relative also made the trip there, alone, with the same nonchalant attitude that I had. It seems he visited one of the itako, did some stuff, stayed the night at a temple, then came home. But no one knows for sure exactly what he did there or what happened, because after he returned, he was different. There was something very off about him. He was no longer the carefree, bright person he had been before. Everyone had opinions about what happened up north, the consensus being that because he visited the area with such an irreverent attitude, he attracted some spiteful spirit and it had attached itself to him. He'd seen doctors and gone through an oharai or two, that cleansing ritual I mentioned in the last episode, but nothing helped. I personally never met this relative. My mother-in-law said they preferred to keep him at home and away from others. Now, that's a story that will put the fear of God in you, or better yet, the fear of ghosts in you. That tale, along with others, and her extreme caution with all mysterious phenomena have always stuck with me. Don't go lightly into things you don't understand. But it is near Halloween, and we do need some escape from the horror that is the real world. So I do want to take you vicariously to a few famous and not-so-famous haunted spots near me. So go on and turn off the lights, light a candle or two, and get comfy on the couch. Tonight, we're going to visit some ghosts. Uncanny Japan is author me, Teresa Matsura, exploring all that is weird from old Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales. Cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing, and I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show. Let me tell you about a new, fun, and absolutely gorgeous game I think you're going to like. The story goes like this. After an unfortunate turn of events, Princess Sakuna is banished to the mysterious Hinoe Island near the border between heaven and earth. Here, together with her colorful companions, our princess must make a home by weathering the elements, cultivating the soil, and battling the hordes of demonic beasts that have overrun the island. Princess Sakuna just happens to be the daughter of a harvest goddess and a warrior god. This comes in handy as she farms the land to not only better the lives of the children of man, but also increase her strength and combat abilities. Those will come in handy when she ventures into deep forests, rushing rivers, secret grottos, and a towering volcano to fight the various beasts and monsters, complete quests, and unlock even more options. The game is called Sakuna of Rice and Ruin. It's a refined side-scrolling platform action game inspired by Japanese mythology, but features many unique twists. Sakuna of Rice and Ruin will be available for PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and Windows PCs. In the US, you can get your hands on the game November 10th. In Japan, look out for it on November 12th. And in Europe, November 20th is the big day. Now, if you're a fan of limited editions, the European and US ones will include a full 3-disc soundtrack, as well as a gorgeous 130-page art book. For PS4, you can get a digital deluxe edition, which includes the full soundtrack as well as console themes and avatars. I really can't convey how beautiful and charming the game looks. So if you're intrigued, please go to sakunaofriceandruin.com. Sakuna is spelled S-A-K-U-N-A, of Rice and Ruin, R-U-I-N. And there you can learn more, check out the enchanting graphics, and consider those limited editions. Remember I said there were two warnings? That second one? I guess it's not so much a warning, but more of a suggestion. A cultural thing, if you will, which I'll preface with the fact that every single Uncanny Japan listener I have ever interacted with has been beyond smart, considerate, and respectful of the Japanese culture. So this isn't about you. I just feel I need to say it. Several years ago, some YouTuber barged into Japan with his lights and cameras and took his film crew into Aokigahara, also called Jukai, or the Sea of Trees. But you might have heard of its other name, the Suicide Forest. This, I still have no idea why his famous person indeed ran across someone who had committed suicide and for whatever reason thought it was a good idea to post the video on YouTube. Horrific, right? Deep down, even though I've lived here 30 plus years, I don't feel comfortable looking up haunted areas and heading there with my camera and microphones at midnight to see what happens. It feels a little crass and disrespectful, if you know what I mean. And yeah, also a little bit my mother-in-law's story and the fact that she swore up and down that I was sticky and ghosts liked hanging around me naturally. I don't want to test the theory that a disgruntled Japanese spirit, or onryo, or two might decide to follow me home and make the rest of my life a living hell. So today, you and I will be visiting those shinrei spoto, ghost spots, but they'll be ones I've heard and read a lot about, or that I've been to myself, but totally by accident. Like it's not uncommon in Japan to visit some scenic spot, and while there, someone leans over and says, "Hey, see that right over there?" That's where those two lovers held hands, leapt from the cliff, and plunged into the rocky sea. If you come here at night, you can still hear them scream. What? Anyway, there are so many haunted spots in Japan, I almost don't know where to begin. So in order to narrow things down, I'm going to stick to areas near me. So let's get started at the place that I think has become quite well known of late, the one I just mentioned, Aokigahara, or Jukai, or the Suicide Forest. This is 30 square kilometers, or 12 square miles, of forest at the foot of Mount Fuji. It's a very interesting forest grown up over the lava flow from Mount Fuji's last eruption. It's incredibly bumpy and mossy with ice caves and wind caves, and some parts very dense and disorienting. There used to be a saying that once you stepped into the Jukai, the Sea of Trees, you wouldn't make it out alive. There are a lot of myths about not being able to use a compass or electronic devices going haywire once inside. This isn't exactly true, but there is the presence of magnetic iron in the ground, which some say can mess with the devices. Or, I don't know, it could be ghosts. There are a lot of tales of people being led off the main path by devious spirits. But the forest is haunted not just by the poor souls who ended their lives there. The Sea of Trees is supposedly also a well-known area for ubaste. Remember back when we were talking about ubaste-yama? Impoverished families carrying their very elderly up a mountain because they couldn't afford to take care of them anymore. Well, that was believed to happen here as well. Now, I've been to Aokigahara numerous times without even knowing it. I live about an hour and a half from Mount Fuji, and you have to drive through the Sea of Trees to get there. So for years I was driving through the forest without knowing anything about the legends or urban myths. I do distinctly remember, though, that the whole area felt weird, heavy, and really, really quiet. I just recently learned that the porous lava rock ground absorbs sound, giving it this quality. Also, I remember when we stopped to rest and look around, the signs, usually very old and worn, that encouraged people to think again, consider the life their parents had given them, and contact a suicide prevention number at the bottom. I've heard people also go into the forest to nail wara ningyo to the trees. Remember I talked about them in episode 52, those straw dolls used to curse your enemies? Oh, and while I never went very far into the forest, I remember seeing the colored ribbons. In order not to get lost, which is easy to do if you go off the paths, people tie ribbons or tape to something and wind their way through the trees. I just watched a video with a Japanese man who often goes into the forest, and he said, nothing good is ever found at the end of one of those ribbons. Ghosts, perhaps? Okay, let's move on to number two. Baba Anna, or the Granny or Old Auntie Cave. So we were just talking about ubaste-yama, throwing away grannies on a mountain. And, well, there's also throwing away grannies in the forest, too, we just learned. Next, let me introduce you to throwing away grannies in a hole in the ground. I just learned about this one, but it came up a lot when I was searching for famous spots in my prefecture. It's a people-sized hole in the forest that's about 20 meters deep. It said here is where, again, the elderly or infirm were thrown occasionally. Once you fall in, you can't get out, evidently. And also that human bones have been found at the bottom of the hole. At night, if you go near it, you might see a hand reaching out. But don't get too close, because there are stories of reckless types getting pulled into the hole, never to be seen again. Number three, tunnels. About 73% of Japan is mountainous, and that naturally means there are a lot of tunnels. And invariably, bad things happen in tunnels. Collapses, fires, car crashes. Even locally, it feels like so many of the tunnels here have ghost stories attached to them, especially the older ones that are narrow, long, and drippy, and have little or no illumination. So let's talk about the old Amagi Tunnel in Izu. It was completed in 1905, and being built completely of stone, it's the longest remaining all-stone tunnel in Japan, at 446 meters over 13,000 feet long. It's surrounded by a dense forest, which adds to the feeling of isolation. It's also narrow and dark and damp, and there are thought to be a lot of ghosts and onryo in and around it. So the old Amagi Tunnel has this very creepy atmosphere about it, especially at night. And because of weird atmospheric pressure, the wind blows or is sucked through the tunnel, making strange noises. If you go through it, while you're deep inside in the dark, sometimes you can hear a woman singing or whispering or asking, "Daijoubu? Are you okay?" At the moment, you can't drive through the tunnel, but back when you could, people reported that their car engines would suddenly die in the middle, or that upon exiting the tunnel, they'd find that their windows and the body of their car were covered in handprints. Samurai ghosts in full armor have been reported wandering through the tunnel. It's thought that some samurai graves were destroyed when constructing it. And finally, it's said that there is something called a hitobashira, literally a person pillar. I found out a lot about this, and I really want to read more. But for the moment, it's the practice of when building something big, like a castle, bridge, dam, or a tunnel, sacrificing a person or people to the gods to prevent any accidents or natural disasters by burying them, sometimes alive. On a lighter note, it's said that the entrance to the old Amagi tunnel was the inspiration for the tunnel scene in Spirited Away, Sen to Chihiro no Kamikakushi. Let's end with unlucky number 4. Finally, let's revisit the high courtesans of days of old that we learned about in episode 61, the Oiran. I'd heard this story quite a while ago, but I didn't realize how close it was to where I am. It happened in the mountains of Yamanashi. So here is the sad and horrific and true story of Oiran Buchi, the Oiran Gorge. During the Sengoku Jidai, the Warring Era, the Takeda clan ran gold mines in the area. Because they were living so far from the city, they also had some Oiran living there with them. However, after the Battle of Nagashino, the Takeda clan lost and they had to leave. But in order to prevent any information about the gold mines getting out, they needed to quiet the workers and the 55 Oiran employed there. The leaders of the clan constructed a wide platform and suspended it over a gorge. Under the pretense of having a party, they invited the Oiran to join. Once the women got onto the platform, the soldiers cut the ropes and the 55 Oiran plummeted to their deaths. To this day, it is considered one of the most haunted spots in Japan, with many warnings not to visit there, ever. Especially if you're a man. And if you do happen to be there and you're a man, don't step too close to the edge of the cliff. So there you have it. A very few of the shinne spoto, ghost spots, in my area. My little warnings aside, the good news is if you like these kind of spooky places, if and when you visit Japan, it's highly likely that you'll stumble across, if not them, then others. The curious thing about Japan is that you don't even have to be looking for spooky or jinxed areas. They're everywhere. Again, true stories. Here are a couple of examples of how I unwittingly ran across haunted areas without even trying. The very first time was back in 1990 or 91. I was an exchange student at the university here, and I just happened to be standing under a tree talking with my kendo friends when suddenly one of them said that we had better move along. It was getting dark, and this is the tree where that one student hung herself so many years ago or something. She doesn't like it when people are here after dark, he said. Or another is when we moved into our new house, and I took a little stroll around the neighborhood. You'll very often find small shrines or statues tucked away. They really are everywhere and fun to investigate. Well, I found this one about a 2-minute walk from our house along this very narrow and windy road. I read the plaque as best as I could, and I was a little shocked. I later asked some people who had lived there for a long time, and it seems that the small shrine is called Kubitsuka Jinja. And let me translate. Kubi is head, or a severed head in this case. And Tsuka is grave. The severed head, and I learned it's plural, the severed head's grave shrine. The story being that back in the day some samurai were riding through the area, and for some reason or other, and I could never find out what it was, They took offense to something and went through and cut off a whole bunch of people's heads and lined them up along the side of the road. The whole area was haunted for a long time until this shrine was erected to appease their spirits. I'm still dying to find out what these poor villagers did, though, to deserve that. Okay, that's all for tonight. You can blow out those candles now. Although you might want to check for floating heads in the hallway. It's no fun tripping over one of those as you feel your way to the bedroom. Oh, and one more thing. I'm working on a side project that I think some of you might really like. Hopefully I'll be able to announce that by the next episode. Thank you all for listening, reviewing, and supporting the show. With a great big special thank you to my patrons, it's because of you that I'm able to do this at all. Thank you. Happy Halloween, good night, and I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. You've just reached the end of another episode of Uncanny Japan. Perhaps you'd like more. A monthly folktale translated and retold by me. The occasional binaurally mic'd soundscape like the ones you hear on this show. Or recipes, behind-the-curtain episodes, homemade postcards, and more. If you're interested in that or supporting the show in any way, please search for Uncanny Japan and Patreon. We've got a wonderful group over there. Thank you again for listening, supporting, reviewing, and telling your friends about the show. My name is Teresa Matsura, and I will talk to you again soon.